Good afternoon. It is Friday, October 28th, the last Friday of October. Awesome. I can't believe it. October has come and gone. Hey, we're doing Discovery Victory Podcast. These are message clips from our sessions here at America's Keswick. Some of America's greatest Bible teachers come on this campus to share God's Word. During our first family week, our 99th summer season, Pastor Sam Sutter and Pastor Robert Rodriguez, him was called a doctor, shared from the book of Ephesians. This is part two of the message that we shared last week. Let's listen to Pastor Sam as he shares and unpacks this passage of scripture from the book of Ephesians.
Right now, though, I got to talk about the address on this letter. Like, talk about a change of perspective here. This is, God, this is weird. From Paul to saints? Like, this feels like opening up someone's mail, right? That's a federal crime, I think. This is what it feels like when I read this to the saints. That's not me, folks. And I don't know some of you, but I don't think that's you either. I see no halos, right? The thing is, if you knew the early church, you'd probably go, whoa, Paul, you've met these guys, right? We know about the early church. They're a lot like modern churches. You know, people who are drunks and jerks and gossips and busybodies. You got self-righteous religious types in the early church who think they're better than everybody else. Paul could have used any of those labels and people would read it and go, that's me. Paul starts off saying that if you are in Christ, which is simply saying if you're a believer, do you know who you are? You're a saint. That's weird, right? You could look at your neighbor and go, hi, saint. That's weird, right? Don't do that. That's strange. Like, what do you think of when you hear the word saint? I think like a biblical character with a halo or something, or maybe you think Mother Teresa in Calcutta, India, serving the needy, something like that, and you go, that's not me, is it? Paul doesn't think of saints the way we do. For Paul, saints are normal, average, ordinary, flawed believers like you and me, or like believers in Corinth who were abusing the gifts or getting drunk on communion wine. That's pretty bad. Or getting in wrapped up in sexual sin. Like God or Paul calls these men and women saints. That, folks, is a change in perspective. How could that possibly be? And Ephesians tells us, and I'm not going to read this, but please read the next verses between 2 and 8. But what Ephesians teaches us in a bunch of different ways, that your status, who you are, isn't something you accomplished. It's not something you could brag about. It's not that you achieve the perfect list of transformational goals. According to the Bible, being a saint takes one step. Be in Christ. And the work that you do is nothing. It's just faith. And anyone connected to Christ in his death and resurrection is called a saint. Saints are just average people who love Jesus. Which is why, and Pastor Rob covered this, you could just, if you have the handout, you could just circle all the different things that God calls you. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's you, right? God calls you holy. God calls you blameless, loved, adopted, redeemed, adopted by God, claimed by God. The Apostle Paul, in the verses that Rob covered, put a name tag on you that said powerful, rich, holy. That's who you are, folks. That is a change of perspective. And when you feel powerless, when you feel weighed down, when you feel exhausted by all of it, when you can't muster the strength to battle your own circumstances, you need a change of perspective. You know what God calls you? That. And that becomes liberating and empowering, and you are able to live into what God calls you. It raises another problem, though. One of the big challenges for Christians is that we forget who we are. You need to remember this. On one hand, folks, you are a loved child of God, which is enough for whatever challenges are in your way. In fact, once you wake up from being shocked, though, you've got questions. If you're Scott, you're going, well, where'd the chair go? Why is Bill Welty in such a tiny chair? I got lots of questions here, right? Sometimes when your perspective changes, you ask, how'd I get here? So chapter 2 of Ephesians starts giving you details about your origin story, details about your identity story, or your identity that protects you from another big problem, a pit, a trap. The trap of thinking that where you got is because of what you did. Chapter 2 of Ephesians will protect you from the trap of pride. Lots of people think that who they are is because of what they did. And they miss out, they forget about Jesus. And they forget to be grateful. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. In fact, as is our practice, I'm going to ask you to stand just as a physical way of respecting the word of God, but really just listen to what God says and allow his word to prudge and nudge and convict you as his spirit does. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which Christ prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just take a minute and unpack this. In the book of Ephesians, Paul starts off, and we started there yesterday, how it's almost like Paul starts off with a pep rally, telling you how rich, powerful, and loved you are. Like, praise God. We really need to know this when we feel beat up sometimes. And then he reminds us how we got that. We get an origin story, which tells us an important lesson, that we can no longer sit in pride or self-righteousness or in ingratitude or in judgment. Because God may call you a saint, but for you to take credit for that, for you to act as though you've earned that status, means that you don't really understand how you got there. In fact, knowing how you got there would help you be more grateful. If you knew your story, if you thought about it, you would be more humble, more loving, and more secure and who God has called you to be. And that gift is called grace. That is exactly what this passage we just read is about. Here's the facts. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Here's the thing. Dead people don't get better, right? We are so messed up. The way we think is wrong. The way we perceive things is wrong. Our perceptions, like in all these subtle, nuanced forms, we are in way more trouble than we can fix by ourselves. In fact, it takes God resurrecting the dead to make natural people unnaturally alive and good. Here's how he described it. The sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Here's the thing. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Like, think about that. Think about who you would be. Think about what your life would be like if you gave into your every natural impulse. Think about where you'd be if God hadn't rescued you. Think about where generational sin would land you. Think about where you would be if you gave into your every impulse. Where would you be right now if God hadn't rescued you? You know, for most people, answering those questions have horrible answers. And for a Christian, it becomes even more so as we understand how bad our sin is, not just by our own standards, but by God's standards. In fact, just to appreciate what God's done for us, it starts by thinking about all the ways in which we used to live when we followed the ways of the world. Like God makes a difference in how you walk. Like, we used to have our backs toward the Lord and face and just run after our own selfishness in whatever subtle or aggressive way that might look. We used to walk in the darkness and devastation toward what Paul calls the ways of the world, the pursuit of money, sex, power, significance, ego, whatever that looks like for each of us personally. We used to live for superficial things instead of for the Lord. Right now, we live in a world where human beings left themselves. This is how messed up we are. We not only choose the wrong direction, but we run after it cheerfully confident that we got it right and everybody else got it wrong. And people say, like, if you got peace with what you're doing, that's fine. That's a dumb thing to think. Just because you feel at peace with something doesn't mean it's right. Like, I got kids. My kids are very comfortable, peaceful, doing exactly what they want. And God gives them parents to say, no, you got to go to bed at night sometimes. No, do not draw on the wall with permanent markers. No, do not try and cut off the dog's tail with dull scissors. Like, I don't care if you feel comfortable. Don't do it, right? We don't naturally do the right thing at all. A Christian is someone who naturally, or not naturally, someone who repents, who turns around facing the Lord. A Christian is someone who walks with Christ as their new identity. And Jesus pulls us out of ourselves. He rescues us from all that. And I'm just so excited for you this week. Because what Jesus does is he finds places of your life where you're still going the wrong way. And as you free yourself from distractions, God transforms you. So your conduct matches your identity. And God is just so kind. God turns people around and starts new patterns for whole generations as parents, as kids, as families, start following Christ. We can't do this by ourselves, all right? We need a powerful force to pull us out of this. I'm just going to read you and tell you what that is. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich, look what God does. God is rich in mercy. He takes us dead things and makes us alive. Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were going the wrong way and happy about it. God raised us up with Christ. And look where we sit now. Look at your seat. Look at who you are. God seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus in order that in the future, God would show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace that you've been saved. It's not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork. God did this. God brought us here, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created in advance for us to do. You know, I think the main thing that God wants you to let sink in from this passage is just the sheer, almost unbelievable, magnificent kindness of God. In four short verses, you could circle this in your handout. It says, God is rich in mercy. That's a big deal. God loved us with great love. His sheer grace has saved us. His mercy is rich. He's lavished kindness that we didn't deserve on us. In fact, whenever someone implies that God might be mean or stingy, you just have to look at what God did for us and let it sink in. Just try and picture how kind the Lord is. God rescued us when we had no hope. God made us alive when we had no power to change ourselves. I put this quote in your handout. Pastor Tim Keller says this: the gospel is this, that we are more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved, accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. If that sinks in, that is a massive change in perspective. It means that all the things you thought about yourself, about God, about Christianity, your perceptions might be wrong. You may believe a scam, and the truth is so much better. When it naturally starts to sink in, I think you almost can't help but doing some of those good works. Out of gratitude, goodness springs. And we start loving our neighbors and loving the Lord. This becomes an identity you can build your life on. Look, people are complicated. I don't know what we need. Sometimes we need a pep talk. Sometimes you need to hear that you are a loved saint. Sometimes we just need to get pushed a little harder to do better. This morning, though, God says both of those things. And what I see Scripture saying is that God wants you to know how far he's taken each one of us. We're saints, we have power, riches, opportunity, but we have nothing that wasn't given to us by the Lord. God has given us everything. In fact, that last line, you are saved by Jesus to glorify the good works that God has prepared for you in advance. So here's what you do. I'm convinced that you need to infuse each moment of your day with the recognition of what God's done for you. And there is nothing more powerful in the world than a Christian who rightly understands the grace of God and is able to apply that grace to every facet of life. And if you can do that, you can show Christ to your families, to kids, to people around, to coworkers, even to our enemies, that many will be saved. And the world becomes even a slightly better reflection of the kingdom of God here on earth. So, Father in heaven, I pray that you would give us the eyes of faith. Can you help us to have an accurate perspective about who you are and what you've called us? Father, when we feel beat up, we feel tired, we feel like we are at the end of our resources, remind us of how rich we are seated at your right hand. Father, when we feel tempted toward pride, when we forget your kindness to us, can you remind us of how far you've taken us? And may we live into our purpose of being the works of your hands. May we be your hand and feet, the body of Christ, in a way that changes the world for the better. Father, I pray as we start reading your word, can you, by the power of the Spirit, open our eyes to see wonderful things from your law? Can you open the eyes of our hearts? Can we see you speak to us in the still small voice that changes our hearts and transform our lives? Yes, all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, so we're moving out.
Moving on out.
What's happening?
So I'm going to kind of run through these pretty quick because there's a decent amount to go through. But if you have any questions about any of these, you can call us at 1-800-453-7942, or you can see all this information on our website at www.americaskeswick.org. October 30th is our Fall Family Fun Day. That's a Sunday. It's going to be from 2 to 6 p.m. November 3rd is our November Hymn Sing, Songs of Thanksgiving and Praise.
Okay.
November 6th, this is a Sunday, is our worship, Coffee House Worship Night, 5 to 7 p.m. That's a free event. November 8th, we're starting choir rehearsal for the Christmas musical that we'll be holding. And then I do want to mention November 9th is our November Girl Talk with Linda McGinn Waterman. The theme this season is Who I Am in Christ, and Linda's going to be sharing on You Are God's Workmanship.
Okay, actually I need to correct that because Linda moved cross country. She's not going to be able to be with us, but Carol is going to be with
us. Sounds pretty cool.
Isn't that a great name? She's really, really cool. But if you're in the Philadelphia area on Sunday, November 6th, don't forget the Coffee House will be here, but we are going to be taking our hymn sing to Warminster, Pennsylvania, to Christ's Home. Yeah, we have a beautiful, brand new activity center. Our whole team will be there to share a wonderful hymn sing. So if you'd like information about that, I want to encourage you to check it out, 1-800-453-7942. I want to encourage you to give a gift today for the Ministry of Addiction Recovery in America's Keswick. We depend on friends like you to support the ministry with your gifts and with your prayers. Our podcast audience has been so faithful in giving. So if you'd like to give a gift, you can do so online, www.americaskeswick.org. Donate now or call a gift in, 1-800-453-7942. Hey, we'll see you on Monday.
Monday.
And it's November, right? Is it November?
Should be. Today's the 28th, 29, 30.
Maybe not.
Not quite.
Okay.
Almost.
All right. Well, you have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday for Worship Live at 1:30. Have a great weekend and God bless.